607 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings, Friday style. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, our staff meteorologist is Dr. Bill Williams. He joins us for an in-depth discussion of the weather for today, the weekend, and the week ahead, plus a look at the tropics. That's coming your way at 6:35. Top headlines on the way in just minutes. Right now, we'll do what we do in the 6 and 7 o'clock hour. The coronavirus cases nationally and here at home. Dalton Orwig has those numbers.
Yeah, and we start nationally as we do every morning. Now more than 2,250,000 total positive cases of coronavirus in America and over 120,000 deaths, while nearly 1 million have recovered from the virus since the pandemic came to America. Yesterday, over 465,000 tests were reported nationally, and about 6% of those tests came back positive. There were also 747 deaths reported yesterday, 9 days in a row now, with fewer than 1,000 deaths. In Alabama, there's now 27,796 confirmed cases in the state after 882 new cases were added yesterday. That's the highest number we've had this week. The seven-day average for new cases is 760 per day, while the two-week average is at a high of 645 cases per day. In Alabama, 801 have died from COVID-19. Yesterday, 17 deaths were reported. That's the highest number we've seen in 10 days. The seven-day average for daily deaths is now 7 per day, while the two-week average is 11 per day. There were 11,799 tests reported yesterday, which is the highest number we've seen in a long time in Alabama. We're now averaging over 6,000 test results per day over the last week and the last 2 weeks. But over the last week, 12% of those test results have come back positive, and the two-week average of positive tests right now sits at 10.3%. Looking at the local level, Mobile County has 2,834 cases with 130 that have died due to COVID-19. There were 46 new cases reported from Mobile yesterday and zero new deaths. Baldwin County added 9 new cases yesterday and now have 386 cases of coronavirus with 9 deaths. Baldwin County still has not reported a death due to COVID-19 since May 22nd. Washington County has 91 cases and 6 deaths. Clark County added a death yesterday and now has 4 with 201 cases of coronavirus. Monroe County has 151 cases with 2 deaths. Escambia County, 123 cases with 4 deaths. Kanawha County has 121 cases with 1 death. Wilcox, 238 cases and 8 deaths. And Choctaw County has 182 cases with 11 deaths. Montgomery County yesterday became the first county with over 3,000 coronavirus cases. They now have 3,059 after adding 103 new cases yesterday. There are also 2 new deaths reported from Montgomery County. Mobile County still leads the state and number of coronavirus deaths with 130. That's 6 more than Jefferson County and just under 50 more than Montgomery County.
All right, Dalton, with the latest numbers here on coronavirus. Also, speaking of Montgomery, their mask ordinance goes into effect 5 o'clock this afternoon. It's an executive action by the mayor when they didn't have the votes in the city council for that. It's interesting. I was talking about that with Todd Stacey yesterday, who lives up there. Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, who will join me a lot of times on the midday show, and just talk about, he was somebody who supports the ordinance, but he doesn't support the methodology. And that was one of the things I was talking about. We look at these things, we still have to do things through the right channels, and it's the city council of Montgomery did not vote the mask ordinance through, even though it sounds like if they take the vote again they will. So the mayor stepped in and made an ordinance and an edict, and that's, I know people will say, well, you know, these times like this, you have to move forward. No, we have a system of checks and balances and rules, even at a municipal level, and that should be adhered to.
Yeah.
Why have it in the first place?
From the extremely local level all the way to the federal level, it seems that we've gone executive order crazy in America, with one person making decisions for, you know, whatever they oversee. And that's not the way the American government was set up to work.
But that's what we're looking at, right? And we're looking at that. Also, we'll get into the DACA decision yesterday from the Supreme Court. There are things like that should have been, that were in the province of the legislative branch, that the legislative branch doesn't handle, doesn't do their job with. They defer the job elsewhere, either directly by shifting that through some kind of memorandum to some other department, or through inaction, and inaction leading to something that is really a legislative issue like DACA, going to the Supreme Court. I think there's a danger there when your person your beliefs are represented in the executive branch, you're all good with executive orders. Well, guess what? The pendulum swings here, and guarantee you, our founders wanted those checks and balances in place no matter what party or what person was in office. And I think we continue to get away from that. And so if it's something that seems as simple as a mask ordinance in Montgomery that circumvents the city council and goes to the executive branch, it's the wrong road, y'all. It is the wrong road. All right, 6:14. But we'll get into that DACA discussion coming up. Also on the way, speaking of COVID, Kansas has added our state of Alabama to their travel quarantine list, the way Florida had Louisiana on their list and New York on their list. Kansas has Alabama on their list. And this is going to be real stuff for me, because I have not called him, but I have a nephew who lives in Topeka, and he'll come in town, especially this time of year. I imagine he's going to be here before snapper season ends to come and go fishing. So the way they're saying it right now, starting Wednesday, June 17th, anyone who's traveled to Alabama, Arizona, or Arkansas, Kansas is asking them to self-isolate for 14 days upon returning to Kansas. So Alabama's on that list because of the spike in cases. But we know that the spike in cases is really more about like Montgomery County, Mobile County, Jefferson County. What if that person traveled to a county that doesn't, Baldwin County?
Right.
There's going to be fewer cases probably in Baldwin County than areas in Texas, but they're still going to have to self-isolate because of the state of Alabama.
Yeah, I guess Kansas officials, state troopers there on the Kansas line or around airports probably wouldn't be able to dial it down all the way to the county level.
No, they're not. But that's what I'm saying. We've seen it before where it was Florida doing it to people from Louisiana. Now, it's not like the number of people, but personally, anecdotally, for me, it's one member of our family.
Yeah,
lives in Kansas. And it's real. If they come here, then they got to, self-quarantine for 14 days.
I wonder how well those rules have worked for other states that have already done that. I think Florida was Florida and Texas, right, the first to announce that they were doing that. I wonder how that worked for them, if they have any stats on that. Although Florida and Texas, both states that have now experienced a spike in cases on their own.
Also, a report out, we'll get to this in a little bit, that says Alabama will lose at least $105 million in hotel tax revenue because of COVID-19. That's one of the many stories on the way this hour. First, though, let's get an update here from Jim Roop from Westwood One. Says coronavirus is not dying out, and experts both in the United States and internationally say, in spite of what some might believe, COVID-19 is continuing to spread and picking up steam.
As restrictions are eased and people continue to gather,
the super spreading events are worrying.
The World Health Organization's Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove says the virus that causes COVID-19 has not gone away. It's not going away. In fact, as we have seen in nearly two dozen states in the U.S. and many countries around the world, the virus has gotten a second foothold.
And indeed, we are seeing super spreading events.
Much of the new surge began around Memorial Day as several states began easing restrictions. Dr. Christina Galli, the Director of Health Services in Los Angeles County, says as restrictions began to be lifted, several myths about the virus began to take as strong a hold as the virus itself. For one, a myth that the virus is not actually continuing to spread. Some believe the increase in cases is simply because of an increase in testing.
This is not true.
The transmission rate correlates with the number of new cases needing hospitalization, and that is up, which leads to the next myth that the most important metric is strictly the number of new cases.
Again, this is not true.
She says again, the number of new cases needing hospitalization is a better metric to determine if and how the virus is spreading, and more new cases requiring hospitalization is up. Another myth is that since restrictions are being lifted, it must mean the virus is going away. Again, not true, she says, adding that some of the strict restrictions were put in place as a way to quickly and drastically reduce the spread of the virus. Stay at home, however, is simply not sustainable. Economies have to open.
But given that the vast majority are still susceptible to the infection, we need to rely on a refined set of practices that allow us to get back to work and back to living our lives safely.
This is why the guidance of frequent hand washing, physical distancing, and masks are in place. Another myth is that this virus is no different than the flu virus.
During mid-April, the counted deaths for COVID-19 in the United States were 15,000 per week. During a typical peak week of seasonal influenza, the counted deaths are more like 750.
The CDC says the average number of deaths from the flu each year, on the high side, is about 62,000. So far, in the first 6 months of COVID-19, more than 117,000 Americans have died from it.
This is a huge difference.
Many states, many countries around the world are seeing surges. Some places have reimposed restrictions. Without drugs to treat or a vaccine to prevent, we are the only way to stop the virus from spreading. I'm Jim Roop.
617 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll check in with Dr. Bill Williams, also on the way in sports.
Now I say bye-bye to Gator Bait at University of Florida games. I'll let you know why they got rid of the popular chant for the Gators. And also SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey says that the SEC will not be holding events in Mississippi until they take the Confederate flag off of their state flag. I'll tell you all about that coming up in sports.
Mako Forestry has the equipment and the knowledge to make your small or large property more usable, valuable, and absolutely more beautiful. Call Mako Forestry 251-747-1802 or online makoforestry.com and on Facebook.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. A dean at the University of Mobile is taking heat for a controversial post on Facebook. It's a meme about how younger generations should view slavery. It was posted on Dr. Al Miller's personal Facebook account. The university discussed the matter with the dean, who deleted the post, as well as offered a personal apology to the student who brought it to the university's attention. The university said it would have no further comment because it's a personnel matter. Starting at 5 o'clock today, it'll be mandatory for those in Montgomery to wear a face mask in public. Mayor Stephen Reed issued an executive order less than 24 hours after the city council failed to pass an ordinance. Montgomery City Council debated the ordinance this week, with the vote ending with a tie. Five of six veterans involved in a case of alleged elder abuse have been released from the hospital. The veterans were rescued from a home last month after one of them managed to walk outside and flag down a driver. Food, water, and medical care were hidden from the veterans. One victim was diagnosed with coronavirus. Donnie Owens and his wife, Talina, the pair that ran and owned the home, have been charged with elder abuse. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Two kinds of people run for office: leaders and politicians. A leader, like President Trump, says what he means. A politician, like Jerry Carl, says anything. Carl criticized tax handouts to big business when he ran for the county commission. Then Carl flipped and supported handing out over $20 million of tax money to billion-dollar corporations. Carl says he's wise spending tax dollars. But Carl flipped again and voted to spend your taxes on everything from a contemporary art museum to a tennis league. Carl made big news when he said he wouldn't take a paycheck on the county commission, but he soon flipped and started taking an $80,000 salary. The difference between Trump and Carl? Trump tells it like it is. Carl tells it like it isn't. If you like having Donald Trump in the White House, you won't like having Jerry Carl in Congress. Paid for by Club for Growth Action, clubforgrowthaction.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Club for Growth Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Not all homes are the same, and neither are all pest control companies. Wildlife Solutions Pest Management has built their business on relationships. A local independent dealer using higher quality products to get better results. Treating indoor and outdoor pests, including mosquitoes, roaches, and fleas. If you're tired of the big bug guys raising prices and lowering their service, call the local experts, Wildlife Solutions Pest Management, 654-6778. Wildlife Solutions Pest Management.
Good morning, 621 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and it's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. University of Florida President Kent Fuchs announced Thursday that the school's Gator Bait cheer will no longer be allowed at sporting events due to the, quote, historic racist imagery associated with the phrase. According to ESPN, the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia at Ferris State University said that African-American babies were used as alligator bait, and the, quote, term alligator bait was also used as a racial slur against African-Americans. The Gator Bait cheer, of course, features fans doing the gator chomp with their arms as a way to taunt the opposition. In Fuchs' statement, he said, quote, while I know of no evidence of racism associated with our Gator Bait cheer at UF sporting events, there is horrific historic racist imagery associated with the phrase. Accordingly, University Athletics and the Gator Band will discontinue the use of the cheer. According to the Gainesville Sun, the Gator Bait phrase started following the program's national championship in 1996, when former Gator Lawrence Wright led the cheer. If you ain't a Gator, you must be Gator Bait. Wright gave his opinion to the Gainesville Sun, saying, quote, I'm not going for it. I created something for us. It's a college football thing. It's not a racist thing. It's about us, the Gator Nation, and I'm black. Steve Spurrier, who won the Heisman Trophy at Florida and later won the national title as a head coach in 96, told the Gainesville Sun he, quote, didn't know there was anything racial about it, but then said, let's get rid of it. after athletic director Scott Strickland told him about the history behind the term. And now SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has weighed in on the state flag of Mississippi. The Mississippi flag features the Confederate battle flag in the upper left-hand corner. Sankey released a statement yesterday saying, quote, "It's past time for change to be made to the flag of the state of Mississippi. Our students deserve an opportunity to learn and compete in environments that are inclusive and welcoming to all. In the event there's no change, there will be consideration of precluding Southeastern Conference championship events from being conducted in the state of Mississippi until the flag is changed." The SEC last ran a championship event in Mississippi in May of 2016 when Mississippi State hosted the softball tournament in Starkville. The NCAA already banned any of its predetermined postseason events from being held in Mississippi because of the flag. And Conference USA, which is home to Southern Miss, also said last night that it will review its championship hosting policies, quote, "in order to ensure we provide environments that align with our continued mission to support and protect our student athletes." On the PGA Tour, Ian Poulter and Mark Hubbard co-lead after round one of the RBC Heritage on Hilton Head Island. Both Poulter and Hubbard shot 7-under par 64s in their first round. Seven golfers are tied for third, one shot behind the leaders. Jordan Spieth is in a group of five golfers that are two shots from the lead. Spieth had a roller coaster first round. He shot a triple bogey on the third hole, but made six straight birdies on the back nine to get back into contention. Players teed off for their second round before 6 this morning. The round will air on the Golf Channel this afternoon beginning at 2. 6:24, that's a look at sports on Mobile Mornings.
This information update brought to you by Roy Lewis Construction, delivering unparalleled value and quality on new construction in commercial and industrial applications. Roy Lewis Construction, building legacies one relationship at a time. Licensed in Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, skies will be sunny across the Gulf Coast today. Look for temperatures around 90 degrees this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, sunny and warmer with afternoon readings in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Hey, Father's Day is Sunday. Dad likes to fish. You like to fish. And tickets are on sale right now for the 87th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo at ADSFR.com. Dates are set July 17th through the 19th. Be a part of the largest fishing tournament in the world with over $400,000 in cash and prizes. Every angler in the open competition who weighs in illegal fish from any of the 30 categories will be entered to win a 25-foot contender with a Yamaha 250 and Sport Trail trailer. Get your tickets now at ADSFR.com. In addition to the open competition, anglers can enter jackpots for snapper, big game, king mackerel, and speckled trout. New this year, a drawing for all participants who weigh in a fish in any jackpot win a brand new Seakeeper 1. Cash prize divisions include billfish, tuna, dolphin, swordfish, wahoo, king mackerel, speckled trout, and tarpon. Hey, fish with Dad this year at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo July 17th through 19th. For tickets and more information, visit ADSFR.com.
Hi, I'm Heather with OnSite Auto Solutions. Whether you have a fender bender, scratches and dents, or need auto or boat detailing, we can help. We combine affordable prices with excellent quality and top-notch service. Give us a call today, 209-6114.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama.
Good morning from the Hooters Traffic Center. Accident-free conditions continue as you're traveling across the Bayway and the Causeway. So far, Airport, Government, and Dolphin and 65. We've seen light traffic and no delays along 90, Hallsville, and Rangeline Road through Tillman's Corner and Theodore. Alliance Roofing has been the most trusted roofer in Mobile and Baldwin County for over 26 years. Licensed, bonded, and insured from residential to commercial, they've got you covered. Call 580-ROOF for Alliance Roofing. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Okay, thank you, Kane. 627 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. And by the way, those are two names you can vote for in the Nappies. VoteNappies.com. The voting is up right now for favorite radio station, morning show, talk show, sports show. They're all in there. So check it out, VoteNappies.com. Also, you can go to our Facebook page and get a link through from our Facebook page to do that. And while you're at Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, post your picture up and check out the pictures in our fishing photo contest. Weekly, somebody's going to win an FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirt. Just post your pictures up and win.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. A dean at the University of Mobile is taking heat for a controversial post on Facebook. It's a meme about how younger generations should view slavery. It was posted on Dr. Al Miller's personal Facebook account. The university discussed the matter with the dean, who deleted the post, as well as offered a personal apology to the student who brought it to the university's attention. The university said it would have no further comment because it's a personnel matter. Starting at 5 o'clock today, it'll be mandatory for those in Montgomery to wear a face mask in public. Mayor Stephen Reed issued an executive order less than 24 hours after the city council failed to pass an ordinance. Montgomery City Council debated the ordinance this week with a vote ending with a tie. Five of six veterans involved in a case of alleged elder abuse have been released from the hospital. The veterans were rescued from a home last month after one of them managed to walk outside and flag down a driver. Food, water, and medical care were hidden from the veterans. One victim was diagnosed with coronavirus. Donnie Owens and his wife Talina, the pair that ran and owned the home, have been charged with elder abuse. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News.
Hello, folks. Ed Meese here. You may remember me as President Reagan's attorney general and his close personal friend. I'm a big fan and a strong supporter of President Trump, and I'm also a great admirer of Jeff Sessions. Jeff was an excellent U.S. attorney under President Reagan and is one of the great conservative leaders of our time. Let me clear something up. Jeff Sessions did the right thing when he recused himself from the phony Russian investigation. The law is clear. He had to recuse. He could not legally investigate himself or the Trump campaign. If Jeff had not recused, he would have broken the law, and the Democrats would have damaged President Trump badly. Jeff Sessions is a uniquely strong man with the integrity to do the right thing even when it's hard. This is Ed Meese, Ronald Reagan's Attorney General, urging you to keep supporting President Trump and to vote for Jeff Sessions for U.S. Senate.
I'm Jeff Sessions, candidate for the United States Senate. I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Sessions Senate Committee, Inc.
So we've all been there before. You're in a fender bender, and the next thing you got to figure out is, when are you getting your vehicle back? And the more important thing is, when are you getting your vehicle back with the repairs done properly? That's where the trusted folks at Professional Collision come in. When you bring your car to Professional Collision, you're in good hands. 40 years of experience, Professional Collision has streamlined the process of collision repair with prompt, clear, and concise estimates, a customer service team who will keep you informed every step of the way, and a restored vehicle that meets the highest quality standards at a fair market price. They've got certified technicians that are trained to know and understand the fine details of each make and model, and you can expect the highest level of quality craftsmanship. Trusted by more vehicle manufacturers, training organizations, and insurance companies than any other collision repair company on the Central Gulf Coast. You can rest assured that they take care of you like someone in their own family. And that's what's important, getting that vehicle back and getting it back fixed right. That is Professional Collision. Check them out today at professional-collision.com.
President Trump will be in Oklahoma for a Saturday campaign rally. Folks are already lining up. Tens of thousands of people are expected to attend, and that has health officials concerned.
The Trump campaign is stopping in the Sooner State Saturday. Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum says the president's visit honors his city's pandemic response.
That's a tremendous honor for our city to be highlighted in that way. And I'm very grateful that the president would select Tulsa to highlight in that way.
But Dr. Jonathan Reiner from the George Washington University Hospital says the COVID-19 pandemic still poses too strong of a threat.
It's unsafe to have this event in Tulsa right now, and the county health commissioner should shut it down.
I'm John Lawrence.
Amy Klobuchar is out of vice presidential contention, urging Democrat Joe Biden to select a woman of color. The Minnesota senator said she called the presumptive presidential nominee with the suggestion, and it could help Biden heal the nation. I'm John Trout.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Peer-to-peer payment platforms were already seeing explosive growth before the COVID-19 crisis gave them a new surge of momentum. Services like Square's Cash App and PayPal Holdings Venmo found new uses during the height of the pandemic as people look for ways to tip service workers, donate to causes, and patronize businesses that had moved to offer digital services during lockdowns. Philip Morris International says there is still a need for collaborative efforts against illicit trade to continue, as a new report produced by KPMG underlines the changing nature of the problem in the European Union. The study found the consumption of counterfeit cigarettes continued to grow last year, reaching $7.6 billion, a 38% increase compared with 2018. Crude oil sharply higher, up $1.17 at $40.01 a barrel. On Wall Street, futures are sharply higher after stocks closed mixed yesterday. The Dow Industrials fell 39. And that's Your Money Now.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
The people of Baldwin County believe in hard work, and they take pride in the work they do. The folks at Gulf Coast Tools share these values and are committed to helping you get the job done right. Gulf Coast Tools in Foley offers a wide selection of tools from woodworking to metalworking, including Festool, DeWalt, Bosch, Makita, and Craig. After the work is done, Gulf Coast Tools has you covered as your local authorized Big Green Egg dealer offering all sizes and accessories. Visit Gulf Coast Tools at the Outdoor Center on Highway 59 in Foley and like us on Facebook.
Now weather with Mobile Radio's only staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams.
It's 6:35. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning, Sean.
All right. Another beautiful day yesterday. Hot, but by the time the sun went down, it felt pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, we started at 67 degrees in the morning and the 90 in the afternoon, and then cooled back down. So had a rather nice day, another dry day. And that's going to be the case today. We've got high pressure building over our area. It's going to give us a sunny day, about 90 for this afternoon. And then tonight, we'll cool into the upper 60s, some areas getting into the mid-60s tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow, I'll start the weekend with sunny skies and a little warmer tomorrow, up to 92, perhaps 93 degrees in the mid-afternoon hours. And, of course, tomorrow is the first day of summer, officially arriving in the afternoon. And then on Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny, and again, up into the lower 90s. So kind of a warm weekend, but plenty of sunshine. After that, there's more rain in the forecast, or rain, I should say, in the forecast for Monday and Tuesday. It'll be in the form of afternoon thunderstorms. And we'll see those for Monday with a high around 90, and then even a better chance for afternoon thunderstorms on Tuesday. And that'll keep temperatures in the upper 80s. In fact, it looks like Wednesday and Thursday, we've got a good chance for afternoon thunderstorm activity. So it's next week, a little more like we expect this time of the year with afternoon thunderstorms. But so far, it looks good for the weekend.
All right, Dr. Bill, what about the tropics?
You know, it's still quiet. Again, we're early in the season, only in mid part now of June, but it's quiet across the Gulf and the Caribbean. We do have a few thunderstorms out in the Atlantic, another tropical wave coming off the African coast, but they're not developing at this time. So it looks good for today and certainly tomorrow.
All right, Dr. Bill, we appreciate the update. And next hour, weekend weather scale.
I'll be ready.
All right, there he is, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, also tropical weather expert. And just taking a peek here that might be of interest to some of us out there, marine forecast for the weekend. Now, I shudder to do this because last weekend's marine forecast could not have been more off.
It was really.
It was supposed to be like 1 to 3 on Saturday, which I guess, I mean, we went Saturday. It's about like that too. But Sunday was supposed to be 1 foot, and it was 4s
Ooh.
Way offshore. And then Monday was supposed to be, and Monday afternoon was okay. In the morning, it was real rough. But here's what they're saying now. Okay, so I'm going to give them another chance this weekend, and I hope they're right here, that they're saying 1 foot seas. Now, we're talking about the area pretty much from Pascagoula, Pensacola, offshore about 20 miles. 1 foot, let's see, southwest winds 8 to 13 knots, becoming west 3 to 8, seas around 1 foot. Dominant wave period 4 seconds, pretty much the same for Saturday and Sunday. That's what they're saying right
Sounds
now.
Good.
That's what they're saying right now. Hey, by the way, too, we were mentioning before the news break there, if you'll go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, got our FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team t-shirts, the dry fit shirts. I guess they're not t-shirts. Well, they're kind of t-shirts. They don't have a collar. The dry fit shirts, right? Those, we're giving away one a week to the person who posts their fishing picture up and has the most number of likes. So every week, most number of likes wins a shirt from FM Talk 106.5. So check it out. You can put your pictures up, check out other people's pictures, and hopefully win that shirt once a week. All right, 6:38. We'll check traffic next.
This is Marshall Farley with Keith Cannon's Classic Cars. Right now, our country and beloved city is trying to navigate through uncertain times, and I have no doubt that we as Mobilians will make it through stronger than ever. In order to do that, we need to come together, help and support one another. Being a family-owned business, we rely on the support of our local community and customers to keep our business moving forward. At Classic Cars, we're open for business in both our sales and service departments, and we are not alone. Throughout our city, locally owned and small businesses are what makes the great city of Mobile great and unique. And the people that work at these places are the backbone of these businesses and what keeps them moving forward. From all of us at Keith Kingan's Classic Cars, we'd like to ask you to make an effort and continue to shop locally. Support all of Mobile's small businesses, from clothing stores, restaurants, radio stations, and everything in between. And together, let's all keep Mobile moving forward.
Hello, Emily again, talking about my dad's business, Forklift Hunter. Have you ever received an invoice from a forklift dealer for repairs and about fell out of your chair? Tired of flushing your hard-earned money down the big dealer toilet? Guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. Next time, call Forklift Hunter. When you receive your bill, you'll be glad you did. We come to you, no contract needed, and no ridiculous fees. 251-479-2270 or forklifthunter.com. Forklift Hunter. Fair, honest, and locally owned.
Good Friday morning for the Lotus CBD Traffic Center. Looking good for Baldwin County, from Loxley to Malvis and Daphne, all the way across the Bayway and the Causeway. Mobile Police Department, county and state troopers have told us they're clear from Rangeline to Tillman's Corner, Theodore, and again, Airport, Dolphin, and Moffitt, and 65, no delays. Market in the Park is back tomorrow morning from 7:30 in the morning till noon at Cathedral Square. It's your favorite certified Alabama farmers market, presented by the City of Mobile Special Events Department. See them at specialeventsmobile.org. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 640 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Friday, and lots to do. Plus, our buddy Alec Naiman joining us. We'll find out what's cooking with him coming up in just a little bit. Top of the, I'd say that's top of the fold. Remember that you say that newspaper, right?
Yeah.
They fold it. I don't know where exactly you fold a web page, but I would say three big things are top news stories of the day above the fold.
Mm-hmm.
Above the fold on the front page here. Story number one, Atlanta police call out sick over charges in the fatal shooting. Remember yesterday we talked a bit about the blue flu maybe hitting there with Atlanta PD. We'll talk more about that coming up. Also, Dalton mentioned it in sports, and more on this coming up. SEC commissioner saying it's past time to change the Mississippi flag, that they're not going to be playing ball there until the flag is gone.
Well, they will allow...
Yes.
They'll allow the teams in Mississippi to play their games there, but they're not planning on hosting any championship events or anything of that nature until the flag is changed.
Well, Mississippi's made sure there's no championship event.
That's right.
And also, when we have more time in the 8 o'clock hour, I want to get into this story further. The University of Mobile dean apologizes. The headline here, okay, this KRG's headline, said University of Mobile dean apologizes for offensive post about slavery. You know, that headline... or he makes the decision
right,
on the story.
Tint to it.
Very much so. So I want to kind of parse that out and get into that in just probably the 8 o'clock hour when we could do a little more of that. All right. And then today's also Juneteenth. This Friday is Juneteenth, commemorating when the last slaves learned they were free. And you got more on this, the story of Juneteenth, and then the story of President Trump and the rally in Tulsa. Bob Constantini from Westwood One with more.
In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, the president taking credit, "I made Juneteenth very famous. It's actually an important event, an important time, but nobody had ever heard of it." The president was forced to change his post-pandemic rally in Tulsa from Friday night on the 19th to Saturday night because of the backlash for rallying that night with its symbolism to Black America and following significant protests and unrest over the killing of George Floyd. No coincidence, Governor Kevin Stitt was a guest for a presidential event on small businesses reopening.
It's just going to be an amazing. Oklahoma's ready for your visit. It's going to be safe, and we're really, really excited.
By no stretch of the imagination is Oklahoma going to be a battleground state in November. And speaking of small businesses, she was wearing a shirt that said, "Make Greenwood Great Again." Dr. Patricia Carter-Brickner of the Greenwood Business Association is looking to take advantage of the spotlight President Trump is shining on what was once a thriving Black business community, launching a revitalization effort.
We want new entrepreneurs as well as to empower those entrepreneurs that are there. But to preserve the 10 buildings that are there, we must have contribution.
Greenwood is the neighborhood that was destroyed 99 years ago when whites attacked Blacks, killing perhaps 300. As often happened in cities, the neighborhood was cut off by an interstate highway in the 1960s. On the other side of that highway, at BOK Center, President Trump will hold his rally Saturday night. When it comes to worries about coronavirus in a jam-packed arena and nearby convention center, we start off with the fact Tulsa County's new coronavirus cases last week were more than doubled the week before. Attendees have agreed to waive their rights to sue should any of them come down with COVID-19. However, the operators of Bank of Oklahoma Center sent a letter Thursday to the Trump campaign asking for a plan detailing health and safety steps for the rally, including social distancing. There is not expected to be any if the place is at capacity, and masks are optional, which BOK Center wants to be mandatory. Bob Costantini, Washington.
All right, 644 FM Talk 106.5. Also, the push for a federal holiday for Juneteenth, right? I mean, look, just compare it. Before, you know, people were like, we can't have another holiday. List of federal holidays. I would just point out here. So you have, let's go chronologically. Let's go through the calendar. So New Year's Day, right, on January 1st, January 20th.
Get rid of that one.
New Year's Day. Get rid of New Year's Day, the first one. Second one, birthday for Martin Luther King Jr. That's January 20th. Washington's birthday on February 17th. People, you know, say, man, what an insignificant holiday. Nah, you know, the founding father. I think, okay, May 25th, one that y'all know I hold very special, Memorial Day.
Yes.
So that is on the list. Independence Day, which is celebrated July 3rd this year, even though 4th of July is celebrated on the 3rd.
I didn't know you could move Independence Day.
That's when they're going to celebrate it. That's why I call it Independence Day, not 4th of July, because sometimes. But, Labor Day. Okay, so I'm going to get into a couple here. Labor Day and Columbus Day, both federal holidays.
Yes.
Okay. Not saying they're wrong, but people are saying that there's no room to have Juneteenth in there. We have Labor Day and Columbus Day. And not to diminish Labor Day, but we have Labor Day and Columbus Day in there. Also very important to us here, November 11th and Veterans Day, then Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. Okay, so those are the federal holidays. But I don't know that it's outside the discussion to look at Juneteenth if we have others there. I really don't. I mean, I think, you know, you have some of these federal holidays that, you know, regular business all works, the banks get off, those kind of things, but what about that? So we'll talk about that as well coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, or with you right now over on the text line at 343-0106.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church, or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
For the freshest fruits and veggies straight from the local farm at everyday low prices, make Allegri Farm Market part of your daily shopping routine. In Daphne, on Highway 181 at County Road 64. Fresh, local, Allegri Farm Market.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. A dean at the University of Mobile is taking heat for a controversial post on Facebook. It's a meme about how younger generations should view slavery. It was posted on Dr. Al Miller's personal Facebook account. The university discussed the matter with the dean, who deleted the post, as well as offered a personal apology to the student who brought it to the university's attention. The university said it would have no further comment because it's a personnel matter. Starting at 5 o'clock today, it'll be mandatory for those in Montgomery to wear a face mask in public. Mayor Stephen Reed issued an executive order less than 24 hours after the city council failed to pass an ordinance. Montgomery City Council debated the ordinance this week with a vote ending with a tie. Five of six veterans involved in a case of alleged elder abuse have been released from the hospital. The veterans were rescued from a home last month after one of them managed to walk outside and flag down a driver. Food, water, and medical care were hidden from the veterans. One victim was diagnosed with coronavirus. Donnie Owens and his wife Talina, the pair that ran and owned the home, have been charged with elder abuse. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News.
Mako Forestry has the equipment and the knowledge to make your small or large property more usable, valuable, and absolutely more beautiful. Call Mako Forestry 251-747-1802 or online makoforestry.com and on Facebook.
Are you planning a party, special event, wedding, or corporate function? Well, let Neiman's Catering be part of your next event. Hi, I'm Alec Neiman with Neiman's Catering, and we take great pride in helping you with your special event. Our team of professional event planners bring many years of experience to guide you through the process. And event to remember. Call Neiman's Catering today at 473-3900 and let our team be part of your next event. Check out our website at neimanscatering.com. Look us up on Facebook and give us a like. Just remember, Neiman's Catering for all your catering needs. Go Jags!
Good morning, 649 on FM Talk 106.5. It's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. University of Florida President Kent Fuchs announced yesterday that the school's Gator Bait cheer will no longer be allowed at sporting events due to the, quote, historic racist imagery associated with the phrase. According to ESPN, the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia at Ferris State University said that African-American babies were used as alligator bait and that the term alligator bait was also used as a racial slur against African-Americans. The Gator Bait cheer, of course, features fans doing the gator chomp with their arms as a way to taunt the opposition. In Fuchs' statement, he said, quote, "While I know of no evidence of racism associated with our Gator Bait cheer at UF sporting events, there's horrific historic racist imagery associated with the phrase. Accordingly, University Athletics and the Gator Band will discontinue the use of the cheer." According to the Gainesville Sun, the Gator Bait phrase started following the program's national championship in 1996 when former Gator Lawrence Wright led the cheer, "If you ain't a Gator, you must be Gator Bait." Wright gave his opinion to the Gainesville Sun, saying, quote, "I'm not going for it. I created something for us. It's a college football thing. It's not a racist thing. It's about us, the Gator Nation, and I'm black." Steve Spurrier, who won the Heisman Trophy at Florida and later won the national title as the head coach, told the Gainesville Sun that he, quote, "didn't know there was anything racial about it," but then said, "let's get rid of it," after athletic director Scott Strickland told him about the history behind the term. And now SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has weighed in on the state flag of Mississippi. The Mississippi flag features the Confederate battle flag in the upper left-hand corner. Sankey released a statement yesterday saying, quote, "It's past time for change to be made to the flag of the state of Mississippi. In the event there's no change, there will be consideration of precluding Southeastern Conference championship events from being conducted in the state of Mississippi until the flag is changed." The SEC last ran a championship event in Mississippi in May of 2016 when Mississippi State hosted the softball tournament in Starkville. The NCAA already banned any of its predetermined postseason events from being held in Mississippi because of the flag. In 2001, Mississippians voted in a referendum to keep the current flag, but this week, in the wake of nationwide protests against racism, Mississippi legislators again proposed a bill that would remove the Confederate symbol from the flag. Several state universities, including Mississippi State and Ole Miss, stopped flying the flag in 2016. And Conference USA, which is home to Southern Miss, also said Thursday night that it will review its championship hosting policies, quote, in order to ensure we provide environments that align with our continued mission to support and protect our student athletes. In NFL news, New York Jets safety Jamal Adams has informed the team that he wants to be traded. Adams is signed to a rookie contract through 2021, but has made it clear that he wants a new contract by the start of the regular season. The San Francisco 49ers announced yesterday that second-year wide receiver Debo Samuel has undergone surgery after suffering a Jones fracture in his left foot while working out with teammates in Nashville, Tennessee earlier this week. According to the Niners, the timetable for his return is not yet known, though they expect to have a better idea when the team reports for training camp in late July. On the PGA Tour, Ian Poulter and Mark Hubbard co-lead after round one of the RBC Heritage on Hilton Head Island. Players teed off for their second round before 6 this morning. That round will air on the Golf Channel this afternoon, beginning at 2. 6:52 on FM Talk 106.5. That's a look at sports on Mobile Mornings.
This information update brought to you by 2U Tires, your local mobile tire shop bringing tires to you. Flat repair, mounting, and precision balancing for personal, fleet, even specialty cars. Call 2U Tires, 415-5500. The number 2, letter U, Tires.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, skies will be sunny across the Gulf Coast today. Look for temperatures around 90 degrees this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, sunny and warmer with afternoon readings in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Confidence, peace of mind, a way forward. During tough times, these are the things we all want. And with the personalized help of a Trustmark relationship manager, it's something we can find together. That's why Trustmark is standing by business owners. No matter what challenges you may be facing, we are here with a suite of financial services to help you find a path forward. Learn more at trustmark.com/business.
Your CBD store of West Mobile is offering personal shopping hours, curbside, and free delivery. Please call store owner Joe Brown to set up your appointment or for call-in orders. Call your CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest at 260-3223 today. That's 260-3223.
Good morning, everyone. For the Lotus CBD Traffic Center, great ride across the Bayway and the Causeway. Once again, Mobile Police Department, County, and State troopers are clear from Airport, Schillinger, Moffitt, Springhill, and Dauphin in 65. Traffic starting to build, but still no problems from Saraland to Pritchard all the way to the 1065. Split. Silver Creek Shooting Range is accepting memberships. They're the only shooting range in the area with tactical, moving, and shooting ranges and a 1,000-yard range, all situated on 160 acres. Go to silvercreekrange.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 6:55, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, online at fmtalk1065.com, where you can get show schedules, podcasts. You also get our three big things, top news stories of the day, online opinion poll question, just to name a few items waiting for you at the website, fmtalk1065.com, plus even more popping on our social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All right, so Dalton and I were in a discussion there during the news break. And he knew, so I was, one of the summertime trips I was trying to plan for the family, I don't know what we're doing now, it's just all getting confused, but I wanted to go take the kids down to go lobstering in the Keys.
Cool.
So, you know, go get some bugs, as they call them down there, go for the mini season at the end of July. It's a two-day deal. Okay, so you and I were talking, he said, oh, watch out, if you got to go, you got to have a mask. And I thought, well, he must mean my snorkeling mask. But he said the Keys are moving this, saying people are going to have to wear their a mask to be out, right?
Yeah, through June of 2021. So that's the longest mask ordinance that's been put in place in America.
The Conk Republic is not going to stand for that. Those people in the Keys, they're going to buck that trend.
Yeah, yeah. The Keys has been known to not necessarily follow the rule of law.
Yes, yes. So that, and then you said, oh, and you got to watch out for the mosquitoes.
Yeah, so a couple Florida Keys stories this morning, yeah. And apparently, you know, they've got a mosquito problem down there, like so many places in the South.
Right.
Dengue fever, is that
Dengue yeah. fever, yeah.
And they've had some outbreaks of dengue fever here lately. So the Florida Keys said, I have an idea. Why don't we release genetically modified larger mosquitoes to take care of our current mosquito problem? I guess
have they never watched a disaster movie? Did they never realize what's happened when we've messed with God's plan like that? We go, here's the thing, we got this invasive, so let's bring another invasive in to fix that invasive, and then we'll get it.
Yeah, what happens when you play God? Nothing
y'all see
goes
Jurassic
right.
Park? Y'all see what happened to those old boys on Jurassic Park?
So this British company, Oxitec, they've genetically engineered large mosquitoes, and they studied this with trials in Brazil, and they said that their programs resulted in significant population declines for the disease-carrying insect, the smaller mosquitoes.
Then what happens when they're done eating all the small mosquitoes?
Mm-hmm.
We got what mosquito hawks to eat mosquitoes. That's,
you know, we've been talking a lot about the trials for vaccines for coronavirus.
Uh-huh.
Let's let this trial for the genetically engineered mosquitoes last a little longer before we bring it to America.
Does this not seem like the making of probably a long and very slow horror movie, but one with genetically engineered mosquitoes?
Scary.
Bad idea. I'm going to pay you back in animal stories. I've got a Sharks Meet the World of Gambling story coming up next hour. All right, news is next.